Dear brothers and sisters, it mentioned that words are heard by people, angels, and Satan, and that Satan uses your evil and negative words as a snare to bring trials and hardships. But words of faith and goodness can draw down the great and wondrous power of God. The centurion and the Syrophoenician women were able to receive answers through Jesus because they made confessions of faith from their hearts. And we'll also look into this at the end of today's sermon. But when you confess from the bottom of your heart is when you can receive answers. You can't just receive answers just by, you know, saying words out loud once or twice. And it can't be forced. You need to confess with the bottom of your heart, from your heart. And what's the difference between confessing from the bottom of your heart? It doesn't matter how many times you confess with your mouth, but confessing from the bottom of your heart means that you don't change, that you don't change your heart. You don't doubt. You don't change your thoughts. You don't worry. You're not anxious. You completely believe in God, our Father. So you believe that whatever it is that you confess from the bottom of your heart, that it will happen. And the centurion confessed with great faith and was able to receive the answers. But the Syrophoenician woman, she had a bit of a trial. She asked, you know, Jesus to receive healing, but ended up being treated like a dog, like an animal. And if, you know, if any normal person was to receive, you know, being treated as a dog, then they may be sad, they may get angry, they may get insulted. But the Syrophoenician woman completely believed in Jesus, completely believed in God. She didn't change her heart. She didn't doubt Jesus' intentions. She didn't doubt God's intentions, and completely obeyed and said amen, which is why that through overcoming the Syrophoenician woman's trial, that she was able to receive the answers. Confessing from the bottom of your heart means that you have achieved the truth, the love, and the goodness to have true faith before God. And through this faith, through these actions, and through this intention, you can come before God and confess and receive answers. If your confession moves and gives joy to the heart of God, then there is nothing you cannot receive as an answer. If you call God your Father and pray, but habitually speak untruthful words or words of judgment and condemnation, then you cannot receive answers or blessings. God does not listen, doesn't only listen to your worship, praises, and prayers. He observes every detail of your life and knows your thoughts and heart's intentions that no one else knows. So when you pray saying that God is almighty, that God is the creator, and you confess with your mouth that this creator God almighty is my Father, and that I believe, you know, everything will come about and all my answers, my questions and my requests will be answers. However, let's say you pray confessing that you believe in God, but after praying, you don't show faith. You know, you end up complaining and grumbling about reality, and you complain saying life is hard and, you know, this is so difficult. And when God hears this, because He sees and hears everything, what will God say? God has nothing but the words that you don't have faith. God sees every detail of your life. Not just, you know, the words that you say, but your thoughts and your heart's intentions. You know, there are times when people hear and praise, and you can receive emotions and you can be moved and shed tears through praises when you praise out loud. But when you don't praise in your normal life, in your normal day-to-day life, you end up frowning, you end up complaining, you end up grumbling. You need to realize that God sees every detail of your life, that, you know, you need to reflect upon your life, thinking that God will see all your complaints and grumbling, that perhaps these are the reasons why you cannot receive answers. So even though today's sermon seems to be easy to listen to, it can be difficult to fully transform your heart. But don't consider it as difficult. The fact that you believe, the fact that you know that God is alive and that there is a heaven, then you need to transform. You need to pray. You need to change your heart so that you can have true faith and enter into heaven. Some people, they have faith in their hearts, but due to their personalities or their habits, they end up, you know, just complaining and grumbling just because. But these are attributes that can be easily transformed, that can easily stop. You can, you know, look at the nature around you and give thanks to God. You can find the clouds, the rainbows, and find God's love within nature. You can praise God and testify of your faith to God. If you realize, if you reflect upon yourself and realize that you are not confessing your love and grace and thanks to Father God as much, then you can change that and profess with your mouth more. The deeds and words from your mouth and lips are heard and recorded by angels. And it's important to understand that your words can become a wall of sin. Last week, looked at the people in the Bible who suffered harm due to their words, like Esau, who lost his birthright, and the officer who denied the word of God's prophet and died right in front of the blessing. Even if you make excuses saying it was just a passing comment or it was said without much thought, you're still responsible for your own words. And it's easy for people to make excuses that, you know, some of the words that they say is just a passing comment or said without much thought. Easy comments like, oh, I can't do this, I'm too tired, it's too difficult, my age is too much now, I've grown too old, I cannot work anymore, I cannot be diligent. And all these words end up turning into reality. You may look back on yourself and say, oh, it was just a passing comment, I only just said it without thinking. But all of these words, you end up being responsible. And what's more frightening is that it's not just people who hear your words, but it's the angels and Satan. God hears and records all the words that come from your mouth. Through today's word, I pray that your mouth will become a channel of blessing, as today's message will focus on people who receive blessings through words from the mouth and learn what confessions to say to draw down complete answers and blessings. I hope that your mouth becomes a channel of blessing. In 2 Chronicles 20 of the Old Testament, during the reign of King Jehoshaphat, the Moabites and the Ammonites joined forces to attack the southern kingdom of Judah. At that time, King Jehoshaphat sought the help of God by proclaiming a fast throughout all the people. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, a Levite, saying, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. But let's say that there was this prophecy that you will not have to fight this battle. And King Jehoshaphat believed in these words, in this prophecy. So we need to think why there was this prophecy. And it's because that, you know, King Jehoshaphat heard the news about the Moabites and the Ammonites joining forces to attack. And King Jehoshaphat sought the help of God, believed in God. Even throughout all the people. And King Jehoshaphat knew that there was a wall of sin between God and the people. And to find this wall of sin and to break down the wall of sin, he asked, he proclaimed a fast and a repentance, not just for himself, but for all the people. Which is why that the Spirit of the Lord prophesied, it gave a prophecy. When you are before a trial, when you experience a trial, and there's nothing in front of you, there's, you know, there's no hope, then be like King Jehoshaphat. Seek God. Repent, look back on yourself so that you can receive this prophecy, just like King Jehoshaphat. Let's say that you've got trials and problems and issues in your workplace, in your family, in your life. You praise, but you don't receive inspiration. You don't receive grace. You listen to, you know, the gospel of holiness, and you don't receive grace or answers. So don't look, search for worldly answers. You need to look for spiritual answers. Don't make excuses. You need to seek the help of God. Repent, fast, find what the spiritual problem is. Because if you don't, you will continue to just run in a circle. For example, let's say that you received a business proposition and you made some money, or you invested some money, but it ended up going the wrong way and you ended up failing, then you need to look back on yourself and see what went wrong, what kind of words of God that you didn't, you know, and that you ended up disobeying. Same with the 10 plagues. God didn't just give the 10 plagues just because. It was so that we could realize and feel God's love from one step to another. God gives signs from a smaller issue all the way to a larger issue. God waits for everyone to repent and look back on themselves and find their problems, to solve their problems. And if you continue to harden your heart, then God cannot help you. So don't be like Pharaoh and his hardened heart. Be like King Jehoshaphat. Seek God's help. Humble yourself. Completely repent. Fast. And pray before God. Then the God of love will give you a chance to repent. So through this prophecy, King Jehoshaphat was completely grateful and full of joy. There are times when people receive God's words as theirs and say amen, but other times there are people that don't consider God's words as theirs. They only look at other people. They don't apply it to their own lives. But King Jehoshaphat was able to receive the prophecy with full faith because he completely repented from the heart. And so King Jehoshaphat didn't resort to worrying anxiety or human methods. As he went out to the battlefield the next day, he proclaimed to the people, "Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful." Because the king trusted in the words of God and the prophet, he made a positive confession of faith. The king is saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. And the reason King Jehoshaphat was able to profess faith without any worry or anxiety is because he completely repented before God. The king also had singers clothed in holy attire and placed them in front of the army to go ahead and praise the Lord. If King Jehoshaphat had relied on fleshly thoughts, he would have placed armed warriors at the front of the army to face the invasion. Because the king fully believed in God's word, he accompanied his confession of faith with fasting and sought what would please God. So he placed the choir in front of the army. God saw this faith and worked so that the allied forces turned on one another and destroyed themselves instead, allowing Israel to gain victory without having to fight at all. When you listen to more of this sermon towards the end, don't misunderstand that Israel didn't have to do anything. Before this battle, Israel received a lot of attacks and went out into battles before this. And God also gave opportunities for the Israelites, for the people to repent and gain victory as well. But if you look at the Bible, God's methods of receiving or granting victory are various. There's a variety. There are times when God just works and allows you to gain victory. But in this situation with King Jehoshaphat, you'll see that God said that the Israelites didn't have to do anything. And in some battles, God will tell you to fight in this way, to place, you know, these people at the front. So don't misunderstand saying, don't misunderstand thinking that Israel did nothing in order to gain victory. They showed faith, they repented. And don't misunderstand that you don't have to do anything and all you need to do is pray to God. Let's say you're looking for a house to move into. You can't just pray and stay at home and do nothing. You still need to go out and look for good houses and good places and still do your research. Of course, you need to not worry and be anxious and rely on God and try and listen to what God is telling you to do. But you can't just sit, you know, on your bottom and do nothing. Next is Nehemiah, who also received answers in accordance to his confession of faith. He'd been serving as an official in a foreign land where he had been taken as a captive. But the king's permission, he returned to rebuild the ruined wall of Jerusalem. Though many Israelites had been taken captive and Gentiles had already occupied the land of Israel, Nehemiah relied on God and carried out the work. Seeing this, the Gentiles mocked and tried to hinder him. Jerusalem was ruined, but Nehemiah came to try and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And even though there were currently Gentiles in the land that were occupying it, Nehemiah didn't stop. In reality, it was an impossible task for the Israelites who had lost their nation and returned from captivity to rebuild the wall in the midst of enemy forces. It's not like that the Israelites completely occupied the land. There were still Gentiles. Yet Nehemiah boldly confessed with his mouth, "The God of heaven will give us success," and moved forward in faith. Though there are many hardships and complications along the way, Nehemiah had faith and persevered to the end, ultimately rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. God helps these kinds of people and makes what seems impossible become possible. It's not that everything was easy for people to confess with their faith. It was that it was difficult and they confessed with their faith, which is why God was able to make things possible and give answers. Through Nehemiah, it's easy to see that faith, a confession of faith, and accompanying action are all necessary. Nehemiah didn't just pray and do nothing. He put in the effort. He moved forwards. He continued to persevere and still rebuild. Even when enemy forces tried to attack, he protected, he defended, and persevered. And this would have been a very difficult situation for Nehemiah, but he didn't stop, he didn't give up. Which is why Nehemiah was able to receive answers from God. Same with King Jehoshaphat. He not only made a confession of faith, but also showed actions that pleased God. King Jehoshaphat completely believed and had faith in God. He not only professed his faith, but showed his actions of faith through the choir at the front of the army. This is how your confessions of the mouth will be done accordingly. It's important for you to understand and realize that there are levels and that there are steps. You can't just pray and confess your mouth, confess your faith with your mouth as if you're doing a speech morning and night and expect God to work. You cannot receive answers if you confess your faith morning and night as if you were making a speech, but in your day-to-day life, in your real, in reality, you end up grumbling and complaining. You need to look back on yourself and check what it is that God wants from you, that what it is, what kind of faith God wants. Your heart, your mouth, your mindset, it's all one. It's a package. If you change one component, then the other components will end up changing as well and be transformed. So don't think that these words do not apply to you. Look back on yourself and see what areas that you lack in and how you can be transformed. It was the same with Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's uncle, Esther who had lost her parents. When the decree to annihilate the Jews was proclaimed throughout the Persian Empire, Mordecai informed Esther, who had become queen by the grace of God. Esther in 4 verse 14, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." Mordecai confessed with his mouth his firm faith that God will save the Jews with or without Esther. And Esther became queen through the grace of God. And even if Mordecai didn't receive Esther's help, Mordecai is confessing with his faith that he will continue to try and work for God. Of course, it doesn't mean that Esther doesn't have to do anything. We do not know what God has in plan. We need to pray and rely on God. if we just pray and say, Father God, just send me someone to do your work, and we do nothing, that's not relying on God. But we need to confess our faith and show faith by relying on God, by praying in detail, by waiting for God's direction, but also not just waiting to the end, but also move yourself and go search for God's direction. Go search for the people to work for God. You cannot just pray to God and say, Father God, send me the right person to me. You also need to put in the effort, put in the labor to go find the people to work for God. In a situation where the second most powerful man in the kingdom had resolved to destroy the Israelites, taken captive, it seemed impossible for the powerless people of Israel to survive. It's not that the second most powerful man in the kingdom didn't like the Israelites. This man completely despised the Israelites and already had planned what to do to completely annihilate the Israelites. So even though it seemed impossible for the Israelites to survive, Mordecai believed and relied on the Almighty God, making a positive confession with his mouth. In the end, it came to pass just like Mordecai's confession. Esther, Queen Esther, was like a daughter to Mordecai. And the fact that Esther had become queen was also God's help, God's grace. God gave Esther the position of queen, and Esther, as queen, was able to help the Israelites, and she should help the Israelites. If Mordecai would beg the king to save the Israelites, that would be his direction and his thoughts and his method, not God's method. Mordecai, if you think about it, had a great trial before him. In reality, there would be no hope for the Israelites to survive. But Mordecai confessed with faith, and same with Esther, he fasted and showed great faith before God. All of these situations, these events, were grace from God. In the end, Haman ended up falling into his own trap, making Mordecai's confession of faith be a cheat. Looking at all these examples, it's important to guard your mouth carefully and always speak with faith, having lips that confess positively in all circumstances. The things that seem impossible in reality can be accomplished when God is with you. Though you know you need to make confessions of faith and goodness, you often find yourself overwhelmed by reality and serious circumstances, which makes worry and anxiety take the lead. This leads to speaking words of complaint and resentment. It's why you need to have spiritual faith. So let's look at how you can possess this spiritual faith and this spiritual principle by your mouth's confession come to pass. Does everything come to pass just by confessing it with your mouth? If that were the case, then people would stop working and simply pray, God, I believe you will make me rich, or make me president. I believe. Even though it says, according to a confession, so it shall be, doesn't mean that everything will come to pass just because you confess it with your mouth. According to your confession, it shall be refers to God's children, God's true children who have complete faith. He will confess before God that it will come to be. Even if it's not a worldly person, a Christian can also pray, you know, God, I believe you will make me rich. Make me the CEO of this company. But if God were to grant all these requests, will it really, truly be God's will? If someone harbored great evil in their heart, they might even look at someone they dislike and pray, God, bring disaster upon that person. I believe that you will do this. There are even Christians who pray for curses and evil on other people that they don't like or they consider are wrong. But God would never answer these prayers or grant answers to these confessions. The way things come to pass according to what's confessed with your mouth is clearly shown in today's scripture, Romans 10 verse 10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This means that simply saying, I believe, while doubting in your heart, doesn't bring results. First, you must believe without any doubt in your heart. The one who truly believes with the heart will always act according to the Word of God. You must believe in your heart without any doubt. But the question is, how do you know if you are truly believing in your heart without any doubt? When you're full of grace, when you're full of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are times when you think that you are believing without any doubt in your heart. But after you receive inspiration, you know, a couple of days later, or after you finish praying, there's worry or anxiety in your heart. If you truly believe and don't have any doubt in your heart, then you will act always according to the Word of God. When there is action, you cast off evil and untruth within your heart and move from darkness into the light. This is what it means to reach righteousness. Your confession will result in righteousness. You fear and love God. So God answers your confessions of the mouth because you live according to His Word. So when you believe in your heart, it results in righteousness, and that is when you receive answers from God. John 14 verse 21, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. These Bible verses are linked. They correlate between each other. When you say that you love God, wouldn't God love you? When you say you love the Lord, wouldn't the Lord love you as well? Just like the Bible verse in John 14, if you love the Lord, if you love God, then you will keep God's commandments. If you only confess with your mouth that you love God, but if you confess with your mouth that you love God and shed tears and receive inspiration, but you don't keep God's commandments, if someone annoys you, you hate them. If someone says insulting words, you get angry. If you don't keep God's commandments, how can God say that you love Him? But are you someone like this next example, saying you want to believe without doubting but feel frustrated because you can't fully believe? Are you someone who wants to believe but you can't help but doubt? You want true faith, and you tell God that if God were to give you true faith, that you will be able to continue with faith without changing. You hear that spiritual faith is given by God, and if He gives you unwavering faith, that you'd believe well, but complain that this faith doesn't come to you. If this is you, then try applying the phrase, belief in the heart is followed by action, in reverse. If you've seen and heard many evidences of God's living presence, but doubts arise from time to time and you feel your faith is small, then begin by practicing God's word and truth. Show action first. God does not change His words. He will provide you and grant you spiritual faith if you were to abide by His will and abide by His word. If you say that you want to believe without doubting, but complain that you cannot receive this faith, that you don't have this faith, then start from in reverse. There are some Christians that complain, saying they cannot offer offerings to God because they don't have faith. This is an excuse. For example, let's say that you're not in good health, but you get told to exercise regularly to recover your health. Then you apply that you'll work out, that you'll exercise when you get better, as you don't have the strength to exercise. What good would that be? First, you need to try your best to exercise in your current condition and build up strength. Of course, there may be days when exercising is good and other days when it's nearly impossible. But if you steadily continue, strength will grow and health will follow. If you start exercising step by step, you will get better. If you're lazy and you don't start exercising even for 5 minutes and you complain saying you don't have the strength, and these are all excuses. Spiritually, when you obey and act according to God's word, your faith grows. As it grows, you become a child of God who receives answers to your requests. But some people say that they don't doubt God's works and pray for answers, but still their prayers are not being answered. If this is you, check how diligently you are practicing the truth. Are you living the truth that God expects according to your measure of faith? Truths such as goodness and love, forgiveness and service, sacrifice and for faithfulness? When God asks for fruit from us, God searches for each person's fruits according to their measure of faith. God doesn't ask for a large fruit from someone who's on the first level of faith. God searches for each person's fruit according to their measure of faith. Let's say you're on the rock of faith, or you have passed the rock of faith. You normally don't sin in action. But if you have entered the rock of faith and you're not technically sinning in action, but you're also not receiving answers, or you receive a small trial or experience a small problem, don't misunderstand thinking that just because you're not sinning that you are still going to receive answers and blessings. You need to work according to your measure of faith. Your measure of faith is past the rock of faith now, so you need to show action and a good heart before God that's related to your measure of faith. You need to work harder. You need to put in more effort. even though you may not sin greatly before God, the fact that you are not improving your action, you are not improving your heart, you are not improving your love and faithfulness for God is also something that you need to reflect upon and change. In the world, people age. If you want to overcome the worldly aspect of aging, then you need to continue to make God happy with your actions and your faith. You need to put in more effort day by day, not stay stagnant with the faith that you have now, with the actions that you have now. How much are you diligently obeying God's words of do, don't do, act and keep? James 2 verse 17 to 18, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You may confess, saying that you don't have faith, but you have action. So this word is saying that you need to show your actions first. However, without faith, the action is also not very useful. If you say that you have this much faith and you receive love from God, you receive acknowledgement from God, but there's no action, then it's useless. You need to put in the action. You need to put in the works. Say you have great faith, but you also continuously, without change, put in effort, put in the work, put in the action. Then God will acknowledge you, will praise you. If all you do is use your mouth and say, my faith is this great and I do this much, but you don't actually put in the action, then it's useless. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2 verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. So without works, faith is not complete. Even if you claim to have faith, if there are no corresponding actions, then it doesn't bring joy to God. So neither power nor answers can be received. When you diligently practice truth, goodness, and love, and accomplish righteousness, you can possess spiritual faith. When Jesus was crucified, one of the criminals hanging beside him accepted Jesus as his Savior and reached salvation through confession with his mouth without any outward action. This is a slightly different case. It's an exception. This criminal had not attained righteousness nor demonstrated any works. So how could he receive this blessing? This was because he truly repented from the heart for his wrongdoings and accepted Jesus as his Savior with his whole heart in the brief moment of encountering Jesus. When we first meet God, when we first met the Lord, we were just like this criminal, truly repenting from the heart and accepting Jesus as our Savior. But the important thing is not to stop after accepting the Lord. You need to act and continue on with righteousness so that in your life you can receive blessings and answers. So this criminal completely repented from the heart and accepted Jesus as Savior. So if this criminal had been given more time to live after accepting the Lord, Jesus knew that he would have continued in greater faith and lived according to God's word. It's why he was promised paradise. It's why he received salvation through his words. So there are slight exceptions. On the other hand, you've got Judas Iscariot, who appeared to be zealous in his faith. When the other disciples confessed that Jesus was a prophet and the Son of God, or when they asked to sit at his right hand in the kingdom of heaven, Judas was there and made similar confessions of faith. Yet in the end, he betrayed Jesus. Even though he followed Jesus and witnessed many evidences that God was with him, Judas hadn't cast away the evil in his heart, and the same evil was revealed through his actions. To believe with the heart and be justified means that your heart is transformed by the truth. The words of a person whose heart has been changed is what leads you to salvation. For example, you might diligently sow before God, give to the needy, and attend worship services and various gatherings. But when your prayers seem unanswered and trials arise, complaints come from the mouth, and your zeal cools down. If you had truly believed in God from the heart, you would have persevered without wavering in any circumstance and continued to seek God's will. As seen from the faith, you won't stop. So you might ask why you don't receive the same answers and blessings, even though you seem to be diligent. Those who believe in God will receive answers according to the confession of the mouth. It's important to have true faith and persevere to the end and move forwards with sincere confessions and actions. And to now, when facing hardships and difficulties, do you refrain from speaking negatively, words of complaint, grumbling, or words that may disappoint God or those around you? James 3 verse 11, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? If you say you believe but speak negatively soon after, releasing bitter water, then it's not a confession of faith. Proverbs 18 verses 20 and 21, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As God's holy children, you must never let bitter water come from your mouth. You must only speak words of truth, confessions of faith, positive words, and words that please God. If you have confessed and declared with your mouth and believe that God will answer, fully entrust it to Him and continue to obey and act according to His word. God is seeking people of faith. So I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all become people with holy lips that produce only fresh water and receive answers to heart's wishes.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away, May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.